Wolford, and it is the 17th of August 2002. I'm here with Mr. Brenton Danny Witherspoon in Mattoon, Kentucky. This is, we're in Crittenden County, but Mr. Witherspoon grew up in Webster County and attended the Clay School and graduated from Webster County High School, class of 1965. Right. Would you just go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, tell us when you were born and where you grew up?
My name is Brent Witherspoon. I was born 7 August 47 in Marion, Kentucky. And I was raised in Blackport, Kentucky. And I attended Clay School and graduated from West County High School in 1965. Later on, was drafted into the U.S. Army, where I spent almost 13 and a half years. That's basically it.
Describe the Clay School, the school building that you attended as a child.
It was a very large building with a brick, with a cafeteria, a huge gymnasium. And they were known as the Clay Get. I think all of our teachers were very, very qualified and very, very confident. And, it was a nice place to go to school. It was more or less a community school. There was a lot of community pride.
In the fall of 1956, you were in grade school at the Clay Building, and two black students had come to enroll in the Clay School. And there was a bit of a ordeal there at this elementary school. Do you recall this situation?
I only recall the circumstances where there was an attempt to integrate the school. We didn't know how many. I don't even remember if I was at school that day. I only remember what I was told. That the parents had surrounded the school with their arms locked to try to prevent the integration of Clay School. At that time, the governor, Happy Chandler, had been contacted and pressure was brought on him to try to stop the integration. And I think that was successful. Later on, I don't remember Clay School being integrated.
So you never attended school with blacks at the Clay School building?
No.
To your recollection?
No.
Do you remember a crowd outside of the school building at all in those few days?
Well, for, that's a long time ago, that's 40. So I don't remember. I just don't remember. I know there was. I know there was a crowd. From what I understand, there was a lot of racial tension, and the community was totally opposed to the integration of Christ. But I think they were trying to do it in a legal way without breaking the law. As far as I don't remember of any violent confrontation. There may have been some pushing or shoving and stuff of that nature, but I don't know. But I wouldn't doubt to hear.
Do you recall anything from your teachers talking about any of this at the time?
I think we were shielded from that information because they wanted to protect us, and then whatever happened. Whichever way it went, we would have to live with it, you know. But I think every effort was made to protect the students where no one would get hurt. So.
Could you kind of describe the attitude of the county? You know, your community was Black Ford.
Right.
Which is in Webster County, but perhaps just kind of describe the attitude of the county overall about segregation and how the races coexisted in Webster County back then?
I think they maintained the attitude of what they like to call separate but equal, but actually there was no equality. Blacks were discriminated against in employment opportunities, and even certain sections of the county, they would be physically in danger at that time. Some of them even feared certain areas of the county. A black lady who worked for us, that we all love and remember, her name's Miss Viola Jones. And somehow kids were very inquisitive, and we asked her, somehow the question of death came up, she would ask, well, Miss Jones, if you died, where would she want to be buried? And Miss Viola said she wanted to be buried in Black Ford. And that really shook me, because I knew that wasn't right. I was real young, but I knew that just wasn't supposed to be. And the next question in my mind was, why would you want to be buried in Black Ford? And she said, because that was the last place the devil would ever look for her.
So she knew darn well that right. It was a segregated community and there weren't any blacks living there.
And while she was there, if we need anything from the store, like house cleaning supplies or so forth, one of the kids would have to go get it. She would not go to the store, you know, in that community to get anything, because she had great fear it was that tension.
She just couldn't be present in the store in Black Ford.
Mm-hmm. She had a.
Was that a legitimate fear, you think, or was she just overly concerned, or was that a legitimate concern?
I think as long as she was with a member of the community, there probably wouldn't have been a problem. But I think that if she had tried to go down there by herself, she may have encountered problems before she even got to the store, you know, by virtue of the fact that she was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she realized that. And again, I think she was a very wonderful person. But I learned a lot from her.
Did you encounter blacks as a kid other than that relationship with that woman that worked for your family? I mean, did you ever play with black kids from the next
no.
community over, ever come into any kind of contact before high school, really?
No.
No.
No, none except. And when I got to high school, the only relationship that I had with any black student there, I had one kid that was smaller than me that I liked to traumatize and tell him stories it scared him. I shouldn't have did it, but he thought I was a racist, and I kind of played into it, and lots got in trouble over that. But I never did anything physically to him. I would just tell him stories, and he was younger than me. But anyway, there was a girl there, Darlene Jones, that we talked about, and we were good friends, and I copied off her. I can say that now, because, you know, I'm graduated in England. But, she was a wonderful person, and I appreciate
that. But you didn't come into contact with her until last couple years of high school at Webster
right.
County?
Right.
Okay.
Junior year of high school.
During the fall of 56, shortly after the National Guard was at Sturgis to kind of ease the tensions there, they came over to Clay for that period I was talking about. And I'm not worried about the details of those few days that the Guard was there, but do you know, can you say what was the attitude of the community towards the National Guard, towards the state, towards Happy Chandler in the years to follow that incident?
I think the community felt like that, from talking Seeing a country store environment, you had people come and go, and people sat and they talked about the news of the day, and they play checkers, and they share these opinions or whatever, what's going on, the current event. I think the feeling was that this integration was being forced upon them, and they resented that. And furthermore, I think that they didn't want to integrate. I think what we have here is a lot that had to do with change of the status quo. They probably thought the way they went to school and the way the blacks went to school and them being in their little community and them being in ours, that was the way it would be forevermore. And nobody could ever change that or mess with that. People don't take change very well sometimes. It's very abrupt, very traumatic, you know. And I think it was for that community. Later on, I feel like that they adjusted very well. But all that being said, as far as we came today after the Civil Rights Act and so forth, I still think that black people are still discriminated against. I had to grow. When I went to Vietnam, I became a soldier. I realized that the guy that was holding it in 16 may or may not be a black soldier, and that my life depended on what he did or failed to do, and vice versa. So as a combat soldier, I can say that we were colorblind. And I think it's just a matter of evolving in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did many of your classmates or people that are about your age, did they go to Vietnam from around here?
We lost two at that time out of Webster County. There was two of my very close friends, Steve Sharp and Charlie Aiken. Steve Sharp played basketball, and Charlie Aiken joined the Marine Corps after he got out of high school. And they were his wife was county court clerk at Webster County for some time. He was very popular in high school, very well liked, very well known. That doesn't sound like many.
Only you say two died. Is that how many traveled?
I'm sure many more went than were actually killed in that.
Do you think a lot of them came back to the community afterward?
Yes.
How do you think that affected race relations here? You spoke of your personal experience. You know, being out in the world. The war obviously changed you,
right.
And it also changed your attitude to how to look at other people.
Right.
Do you think others in the community, do you think the Vietnam War and service had that kind of effect around here to people other than yourself?
I think it did with other people that begin to see through our eyes what we had saw as we tried to tell that story. I think things change quite a bit. It was like once a veteran laid down his life for his country today, regardless of what his color is, black or whatever, I feel like that he's entitled to the same respect as anyone, regardless of his color, whether it was me or a black soldier or anything else. I think that we're growing into that. I'm not sure that we did immediately after the Vietnam War, but
mm-hmm.
I think that now we're beginning to recognize that and we're becoming more human.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Certainly. Let's talk about Webster County High School. The building opened in, I believe, the fall of the 1963-64 school year. which was your junior year in high school. You came from the Clay School over to the newly built and consolidated Webster County High.
Right.
And that same year, a couple black students attended the school. You know, what were the feelings at the beginning of that school year? Was there much discussion around the fact that blacks were now going to be attending school with whites at Webster County High School?
I think the resentment and the tension, and I say tension because there was some tension there, but it was something that was understood and unspoken, unless there was something that brought it to the surface. And I think that's why, I think these black kids understood that, and I think they knew that. I think they were very, very aware of that. And as we began to go through certain rituals, like a graduation and so forth, some of this became evident. Some of it came out, and it became vocal and verbal. Some of them were vocally and verbally assaulted, you know, but as far as any fist fights, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember much, any violence in the school?
No.
Do you remember the teachers or the administration taking any particular steps to make sure this went smoothly?
I think they did, and I think that's one thing that it was a successful integration. Because had we not had the kind of discipline and control, had they not had the kind of discipline in the school that they had, I believe that situation could have been very volatile and got out of hand. Somebody would have got hurt. As far as I know, racial slurs and stuff like that were frowned upon and would not be tolerated. You know, with serious consequences. But you had to juggle that with the political atmosphere of who was making a comment. Was he the son of some politician or that put the principal in a very difficult position, I think.
Do you recall any events around that? I understand what you're saying. Do you recall that ever actually happening? Like, perhaps some people were, some whites that opposed the blacks attending were dealt with differently than others?
Right. Naturally, some of those people are still in our community today.
Sure.
And I'm sure that, they were leading very good citizens then and are now. But I think they, along with everyone else, had to grow. But at that time, going back to that time, it was unheard of and totally unthinkable of a black to marry a white or a black to date a white. At that time, it was even questionable whether even to have a black for a friend or to be seen in the presence of a group of blacks. Does that make sense?
Certainly, yeah.
It was things that were unspoken but understood, you know. And I don't think we're in that situation now, and I think that we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back, at the time, like any normal, I want to say normal, I thought it was normal, but like any 15, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid, I didn't want to see my school integrated. I didn't want to go to school with blacks. I didn't know anything about blacks. You know, I didn't know, I thought they just wanted to take over our school. But how are you going to take over a school with four students?
Right.
You know? Today, I'm sure they have changed in the ways. I'm sure we have probably black class officers, we have black basketball players, we have black taking leadership positions in the student community. Whereas in my day, that would have been unthinkable. You know, could you possibly imagine a black president of my class? No, not even a black class reporter. You know, it would have been unthinkable. I'm sure today that's not the case. So, and I'm proud of that.
Either the first couple integrated years in Webster County, meaning your 11th and 12th grade school year, or maybe even the next couple years. I'm guessing you were still around here before you went to service. Did you still live in the community?
Right.
During that time, did blacks play sports for the school?
They did. I believe Union County, seemed like Union County integrated before. And we learned that blacks were very good in basketball, very good in sports. And what I learned in my school that were blacks were very smart. Okay, and that put a lot of prejudice to rest, like you're not dealing with a bunch of poor, dumb niggas, you know. These people were human, and they were aggressive, and they had goals, and they had aspirations, just like we did. And when you learn that, it puts everything in a whole different light. But at the time, before integration happened, I even remember eighth grade class in play. And we did a play called Old Black Joe. And we put on black soot with cold cream and white lips and a whole 9 yards. And I went to spend the night with a friend, and his mother had a fit because she didn't want me going to bed with all this soot and stuff on my face. And today I think that would be considered very racist. But at that time it was quite normal. It was comical. It was funny. You know, Camp Town Racers sang this song, doo-dah, doo-dah.
Talking about a minstrel
right.
kind of show.
Right. I do think, and it would have been absolutely unthinkable for us. Now, our school system, as far as I know, I don't think we played Union County. But
you never played Union County back then?
I don't remember playing Union County High. Maybe it's not in our district. It might be in a different district. But just saying, have we played Union County High? And we got these, we did play Providence, so we probably played it. It was horrible to get beat with a team of black players.
Did you guys
just uncomfortable. It was just awful, you know. Unacceptable.
When you say we played Providence, that means Webster County High School versus Providence High School?
Right.
And by that time, I'm guessing, yeah, and it was. According to the record, Providence was integrated.
Right.
It was an integrated team, but there was a sizable number of blacks on the team. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, how did the community, how did the school react when they got beat? You know, when the Webster County team got beat by another team that had quite a few black players.
Then you're dealing with the average population. You're not dealing with just students. And you're dealing in the fever of the game. People get pretty involved in the game process. The fact, not just the fact that they got beat by another team. Would have been bad enough, but it got beat by another team with blacks on the team. It would have been almost totally crushing. So, that's just in the competition thing, but being removed from that area and going overseas and seeing a whole different environment, a whole different level of cooperation. Of course, the military was integrated. And at that time, we had open base. We had blacks in our base. We got up, made breakfast with blacks, and went to bed in the same built barracks, open bay with blacks. We used the same showers. We used, you know, we didn't have any problems, you know, unless you got some egghead in here from that wanted to refight the Civil War, and you had a problem. That in the military, that was very, very limited. I never seen much of that. So, but this area here is normally about 10 to 20 years behind the rest of the nation. So, whatever, in 1976 or 1972 or 3, by 1976, I was in Fort Hood. My son and daughter skateboards were the rage at Plain, Texas, around Fort Hood. I came home, and my kids both went to Crittenden County High School. In the 1990s, skateboard became the rage in Crittenden County. Before that, I don't think they'd even heard of a skateboard. So it takes a while for things to catch on fire and trickle down to this community.
And so you're just comparing that skateboard story with the acceptance of integration, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah.
Your senior year was the first year that blacks graduated from Webster County High School and the first year that they would have graduated from integrated school in the county.
Right.
Can you kind of describe the ceremony and what took place that day?
Well, I think it was a real learning experience for me. I was a class officer. I was a class reporter. But we had one of the largest classes, probably in Webster County. Maybe it set the record. I think we had about 133, which was a very large class. There was some squabble over some of the guys objected to marching with the black girls in the ceremony. And a member of the faculty came to me and discussed that with me. And I think they had tried two or three other members of the class before they came to me. And they had done some rehearsals. And I think a couple of times one of these girls had got cursed out and got belittled and got, I don't know if there was any racial slurs or anything, but I'm not going to say there wasn't. I don't know. I just know that it was a very traumatic event for the girl because the girl did not want to graduate. She didn't want to come to her own graduation. She was not going to come to her own graduation. So
that was that Darlene or?
That's Darlene Jones. And my principal approached me and asked me if I would march with her down the aisle. And I, of course, at that time I was shocked because I let everybody know at that time I believed in a stance of separate but equal. Let the black people do their thing, we'll do our thing. I wasn't interested, nor did I support integration, but I just wanted to be a Southern gentleman and kind of hang on to the status quo, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't rude or crude about it. I was very, I never mistreated anybody or slurred anybody. So anyway, he asked me to do that, and and I had to graduate, and I thought that at first I thought I didn't know whether I wanted to or not, because I was confused. I didn't know whether and how it would be accepted, you know.
Were you concerned about your own safety
mine,
or
as
your
much as I was hers.
Okay.
Or even both, you know. But then I thought, well, here I was, my class had taught enough of me to elect me as a class reporter and so forth, that we needed to walk this trail. My school needed to cross this bridge. We needed to have this graduation ceremony and the black students move. As I got to school that night to graduate, as we walked down the aisle, me and Darlene, hand in hand, there were the students, and then there was a crowd behind the students. It seemed like the gymnasium was packed. My class president had an accident, him and my cousin, and he was badly torn, and one of his brothers was blue torn, and they weren't able to graduate. So outside that trauma of not having a class president and everything, we were still going on with this graduation ceremony. As we walked down the aisle, I noticed that there were people who were spitting at our feet. Now, this is an event that we had worked for 12 years, you know, to graduate. This was our day.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I dropped my head, and I didn't notice how Darlene reacted to it, but I held her hand tight. I didn't want to see me. But we kept walking. Until we reached a place where we sat down. And rather than duck my head and feel depressed and all that, I think I raised my head just a little higher and threw my chest out just a little bit further, because I felt like it really taking that school down the road that they need to go. And we were helping them cross that door. On the way out, in spite of the low, very few black students that we had in the schools, when we came out, there were several their parents and several other black people who were in the hallway. And almost each one of those, without exception, handed me a gift. And I consider that one of my greatest contributions to that school. And I'm very proud that we walked that trail.
How did, you know, after graduation and maybe even days after, you know, was there any more said about this event or was...
I never heard anything about it. Nobody ever made any comment to me about it, either pro or con, which I expected. You know, I didn't know when I stepped out in the hallway. But I was relieved. I was really pleasantly relieved. And, but it would be an event that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And very few people have I told that story to. So.
How would you describe race relations in Webster County since you graduated?
I think they're improved to a point of where they have to be. You know what I mean? I don't think in Webster County I think Webster County is still discriminatory in a lot of ways. Probably an area of employment and social containment. You know, I think there's still this, you have your place thing. Even though I think some of those barriers have been broke down, that they still have a long way to go.
Is the county as segregated residentially, you know, and geographically as it once was?
Yes.
Pretty much the same. There's still
pretty well. Yeah.
Black areas of town.
We call still have the black section of town. Blackford had no black section.
Still.
Because there's no black.
Right. Dixon?
Clay. I don't know about Dixon. I know Clay does. Clay has a black section, but I think in Clay, some of them have been moving into white areas or previously white areas that was bought probably for the first time in that county's history. You know, it's kind of a step at a time type thing. And, I don't. Providence, and they have a area up there where there's, which they go to school there and they're integrated, but they still have a black section of town. Where you're going to see where the barriers will break down with the racial barriers is, in my opinion, you start seeing very black people in white cemeteries and stuff like that, which I've never seen. And I don't believe. It may, you know, it's not wrong, it's not right for me to say it will never happen, it may happen. But there's still that separation. We'll do what we have to, but we're not going to do any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
That thing.
When Webster County High School integrated, you know, consolidation and integration kind of came together. I'm guessing we don't know this right now sitting here, but I'm guessing part of the reason these black students attended Webster County High when they did the first year or two was probably because they were consolidating the high school and they were getting away from the old community schools.
Yeah.
Had that not happened in 1963, the fall of 63, when do you think that the schools would have integrated?
That would have been a whole new ball game. That fight would have took place. It would have gone from community to community.
each community would have had to integrate.
Right.
And do you think it would have taken a few, some time, I'm assuming, for that to happen? Quite a bit?
And probably not happened as fast.
Right.
Had it not been for consolidation. But my dad, and there's a lot of other people who opposed consolidation, the theory was that the county could save money by putting everybody under one roof, and you would have more benefits and more different options, classes, more opportunities, and so forth. And I'm not sure that that played out exactly that way.
Right.
Because up until that time, each community had its own private little school. I think each community, when they lost their school, and they did consolidate, they lost something. They lost that community esprit de corps. They lost a part of their identity, if you will. And I'm not a consolidation advocate, so. Even though I am all for integration.
Right, you're just talking about for a better education in a smaller setting. Yeah,
right.
I understand. Mr. Witherspoon, thank you. I appreciate you sharing your stories today.
I hope I've been helpful.
Yeah, no problem.